All right, welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive, the show that gets you right to the heart of things. We cut through the noise so you can really understand what's going on. And today, we're going to be diving into this idea of a pocket companion.
Yeah.
For, you know, like helping with personal growth and dealing with stress. It's actually something that came up pretty strongly in some recent survey data we've been looking at.
That's right. We've got this. It's a PDF. It's called Pocket Companion. Personal Growth and Stress Management. It's full of responses from people, you know, age 20 to 55.
Wow, so quite a range.
Yeah, students, professionals, graduate students, all talking about, well, you know, their experiences with stress, like how are they dealing with it right now, and then what they would actually want, what they imagine this digital tool could do, you know, like to better support them.
It's really fascinating to see what people are looking for in this digital age. So what we're going to do in this deep dive is pull out the most interesting stuff from this survey, right? Give you the insights. Like, what does stress actually look like for people in their everyday lives? How are we trying to cope with it right now? And then what do they actually want from this pocket companion? How could it really help them? So first things first, how common is stress according to this survey? And just how long has it been a part of people's lives?
Well, I mean, I think what jumps out immediately is just how often people are reporting that they feel stressed, you know? I mean, we see a significant number saying they feel it multiple times a week.
Wow.
Yeah, anything from 1-2 times a week all the way feeling it all 7 days.
Constantly stressed.
Yeah, basically, it's almost like it's just become normal, you know? Like, chronic stress, I mean, especially in this age group. And, you know, I think that could have some pretty serious long-term effects on people, both physically and mentally. It's not just about feeling pressure every now and then. It's this constant thing for a lot of people.
And it's not like a temporary thing, is it? Like, when they asked about how long the stress had been going on, the answers were, like, all over the place. From the past few months to some people saying, as long as I can remember, or even more than 5 years.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I know. That really hit me, too.
It's not just a little blip. It's like this.
It's entrenched.
This ongoing tension.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yeah.
they describe it in the survey, this ongoing pressure. And that really emphasizes the need for support.
Absolutely.
Right? Maybe this pocket companion thing could be that.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's important to keep in mind, too, like the overall outlook here. I mean, a lot of the people, they said mostly happy about life, but hope that things get better. But then some were, you know, somewhat sad about life and worried about the future. So there's this like mix of feelings, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And it shows that people want, you know, tools and ways to deal with these challenges they're facing,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, to just feel better overall. It's not only about people who are like really struggling, it's like a whole range of people.
Yeah.
You know, just wanting help with their everyday struggles and to just, you know, grow as people.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've established that stress is a pretty frequent visitor for a lot of people. So what are people actually doing to manage it?
Right.
What are their coping mechanisms and how well are those working for them?
Well, I mean, there are a few really common ones that come up over and over again, like talking to friends and family, getting some exercise, journaling, you know, the classics.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that, like, how well those things work, it really varies.
I guess it depends on the person, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, a lot of people find talking to a friend very effective. But when it comes to talking to family, it's not always the same.
Right.
Yeah. For some, it's effective, but for others, not effective. You know, maybe it's about the kind of support you get or even just the dynamics of your relationships that play a part in how helpful those conversations actually are.
Yeah, you're right. You might get totally different support from a friend than you would from a family member.
Exactly.
Okay, so those are the common ones. What about the less common approaches? Were there any that stood out to you?
Oh, definitely. You know, people are doing all sorts of things. Some people mention using specific apps, though how happy they were with those. Well, we'll get to that later. Then there's stuff like breathing exercises, seeing a therapist, even medication.
Yeah.
Then you've got people who are into hobbies, you know, golf, creative stuff like dance, hiking, just reading, drinking tea, even just consuming media.
Like to escape.
Yeah. Podcasts, shows, music, like a way to just kind of zone out. It just shows that everyone finds what works for them, you know?
They're trying all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And there were those other responses, right? Like really specific, really personal ones.
Yeah.
Like sit with it, mood swings will go away, rationalize.
Yeah.
I love that one. It's so blunt.
I know, right? And then there was the read the Bible and pray type of approach.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And some simple ones too, like go on walks. Then there was this one, clean my room and listen to music. You know, I think that says something about how our environment can affect how we feel.
For sure.
And then there were some that were, well, maybe a little avoidant, like watch TV or zone out, sleep, play video games, or just dissociate. I guess it's a way to cope, but
Not really addressing the problem.
yeah, maybe not the healthiest in the long run. And then I love this one. Someone said, pray, connect with God, read the Bible, breathe spiritually as well as physically. So, you know, for that person, it's all connected.
Yeah, a holistic approach.
Exactly. It just shows that stress management is a very personal thing.
It really is. What works for one person might not even occur to someone else.
Right.
I guess that's where this pocket companion idea could be so useful, right?
Right.
If it could offer a whole bunch of different tools, you know, tailored to the individual.
Personalized support.
Okay, so some people are turning to professional support to deal with stress. The survey asked about experiences with therapists and mental health apps. What did we learn about how satisfied people were with those?
Well, for the therapists and counselors, it really depended. Like on that 1 to 5 scale, the satisfaction levels were all over the place. Some people were super happy, gave their therapist a 4 or 5, said things like, therapist helps, provide strategies, gain tools. But then there were lower scores too. Some felt like they were just getting generic advice, general advice that I could have Googled, or that, you know, the sessions weren't actually helping with their problems. And then there were practical issues too, like insurance coverage, even some complaints about the therapist's memory. So it seems like finding the right therapist and actually being able to access therapy are both super important.
It's not always easy, is it?
Yeah, it can be a real struggle. And, you know, that's where something like a pocket companion could be helpful. Like maybe it could make support more accessible, you know?
Lower the barrier.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about those mental health apps everyone's talking about? You know, Headspace, Calm, BetterHelp. Were people finding those helpful for managing their stress?
Well, the scores for those apps, they were mostly between 6 and 9 out of 10, so generally pretty positive.
Okay, so people are liking them.
Yeah, it seems so. But I mean, the survey didn't really dig into why people found them helpful.
Just the overall satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to say what features or aspects people really liked and how a more, you know, comprehensive pocket companion could improve on those apps.
Makes sense. So let's get to this digital therapist idea. If people could have this pocket companion, what features would they actually want? What are they hoping for?
This is where the survey gets really interesting. You know, it gives us some real insight into what people want from on-demand support. A lot of people wanted guided exercises for anxiety, you know, stuff for immediate relief, and daily motivation, reminders, you know, to help build those positive habits. And then direct access to counselors through the app, that was a big one. You know, people still want that human connection.
Absolutely.
And then progress tracking, analytics, being able to see how they're doing.
To see the results.
Exactly. And of course, real-time chat support, you know, for when things get really bad.
So it's like they want both
Right?
encouragement to stay on track and tools for when things feel overwhelming.
Absolutely. A mix of being proactive and reactive.
Were there any less common requests that were still interesting?
Oh, definitely. Some people wanted engaging games that, you know, the idea being that distraction can be good and a sense of accomplishment, I guess.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. And then guides that help with sleep, exercise, diet, etc. Basically, like a more holistic approach.
Lifestyle support.
Totally. And this one, I love this one. A monthly reflection or flashback on how I've overcome challenges. That's about recognizing your own resilience, learning from the past. I think that's really insightful.
Yeah, it's so important to remind yourself of what you've already achieved,
Yeah.
right? It can give you that strength to face new challenges. So it's not just about quick fixes, it's about building resilience, you know, long-term well-being. And for this pocket companion to really feel personal, it would have to be tailored to the individual, right?
Right.
The survey asked about sharing data for personalization. What were the key takeaways there?
Oh, yeah, this is a tricky one. And the responses were all over the place. Most people were okay with sharing general stuff, like their habits. But then when it came to more personal stuff, feelings, triggers, personal history, it got a bit more iffy. Some people were hesitant, you know, maybe. And then things like social media data, voice recordings, selfies, that was a no-go for most.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Right. But then some people were open to sharing health app data and written descriptions of their stressors. So it's clear that privacy is a huge concern here.
Makes sense. People want personalization, but they're also worried about what they're sharing and how it's going to be used.
Yeah, absolutely. Any pocket companion would have to make data security and user control a top priority.
For sure. Okay, so how often would people ideally want to interact with this companion? Would it be constant or more like when needed?
You know, it varied. Some wanted 1-2 times a week, others multiple times daily, but a lot of people said as needed.
So they don't want to feel bombarded by it.
Exactly. They want to use it when they need it, not have it constantly bugging them.
It should be a resource, not a burden.
Exactly.
And in terms of how they'd want to interact with it on a daily basis, what were the popular options?
Guided conversations or just, you know, chats. Those were popular. And then motivational texts, just little boosts throughout the day.
Like little pep talks.
Yeah, exactly. And then personalized audio messages, prompts for journaling, and of course, access to a real person to chat with. That was still a big one, especially for those times when you just need that human connection.
So a mix of automated support and the option to talk to a human.
Yeah, it seems like that combination is really important for people.
Okay, so we talked about the interest in accessing professional counselors through the app.
Hmm.
How important was that feature to people?
On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the most important, most people rated it a 4 or a 5. So pretty important.
They really want that option.
Yeah. It shows that even with all the automated features, having that human connection, that professional support, is still really valuable to people.
Absolutely. Okay. So how would people want this companion to communicate with them? Notifications, reports, that kind of thing.
Push notifications and text messages. Those were the most popular. Like for quick updates and reminders. A lot of people also wanted a weekly well-being report, which makes sense, right? It goes back to that progress tracking and self-awareness.
To see how they're doing.
Exactly. And then some people wanted the app to actually speak to me. So maybe audio interactions like guided meditations or voice messages, those could be good features.
Interesting. Okay, so what about in an emergency? Who would people want this companion to notify?
Most people said they'd want their family and friends notified. Partners or spouses, too. And, you know, some people said counselors or therapists, and even in some cases, the police.
So it's like a safety net.
Yeah, it really is. Connecting people to their support system when they need it most.
Yeah. Okay, the survey also touched on community and safety. What did we learn about those areas?
Well, there was a lot of interest in having an anonymous forum, you know, where people could connect with others going through similar stuff,
yeah,
share their experiences without judgment.
Like a support group.
Yeah, exactly. Then the weekly call from a real person for accountability, that was more mixed. Some were into it. Others wanted more, you know, self-directed support. And then sadly, when asked about feeling unsafe, a lot of people said they had felt unsafe at some point, on or off campus.
That's really concerning.
Yeah. And in those situations, the most common thing people did was call a friend or family member. Or, sadly, sometimes they did nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And one person said they called escort services. So clearly, there's a real need for readily available support and safety resources.
Absolutely. And the survey also asked if people knew anyone who'd been in an unsafe situation. And the answers were pretty disturbing. It really shows how important it is to have support systems in place, whether it's people or something like this pocket companion.
Absolutely. You know, people shared stories about a friend's attempted suicide, assaults, being threatened and chased, stalking, harassment, even witnessing a hit and run.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, it is. And it just shows how common these difficult traumatic experiences are. And it emphasizes the need for accessible support, safety measures, and a sense of community. All things that a well-designed pocket companion could potentially offer.
Absolutely. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the main takeaways for you, our listener?
Well, it's clear that stress is a huge problem. It's constant for a lot of people, and they're trying all sorts of things to cope with varying degrees of success. But what's really interesting is this desire for a pocket companion, this digital tool that could provide personalized support.
That's right.
Like an ally that's always there, ready to offer help, encourage healthy habits, and connect you with professionals and other people who understand what you're going through.
It's a really powerful idea.
It is. And it's not just about dealing with acute stress. It's about personal growth, building resilience, and overall well-being.
Absolutely. So, listener, as you think about all of this, the widespread stress, the different coping mechanisms, this desire for a digital support system, what would your ideal pocket companion look like? What features would be most beneficial to you? What would make it feel like a truly valuable and indispensable ally in your everyday life? That's something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.